May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you, Lord. This is verse 17 of Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah had the encounter with the angel. It says, "And it is he who will go as a forerunner," speaking of John the Baptist, "before him, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous." That's always been a scripture that's ministered a lot to me when I think about righteousness. We talked about that some yesterday. This is sort of a pre-Lenten word as we begin tomorrow with Ash Wednesday and Lent. Is that righteousness above everything else is an attitude. It's an attitude to walk in truth. It's an attitude that with all your heart you want to walk in truth. You want to be obedient, but more than that, you want to pursue truth and find truth and walk in truth and to do the right thing, and you want to find more right things to do. There's a place in John chapter 1 concerning Jesus' baptism, and it says in John chapter 1, verse 32, "John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him," speaking of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 51, "And he said to him," speaking to Philip, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Back to the scripture in Matthew chapter 4 that Deacon Ron read from, when Jesus comes to be baptized, in this account, John the Baptist says, "No, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you." And Jesus made the statement, and he says, "Permitted at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him, and after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. The heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended as a dove coming upon him. And John said he didn't just come upon him, he remained on him. "And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you're a Christian this morning, if you've experienced new birth, then the Lord would say about you, he would speak it from the heavens so that the whole world could hear that you are his beloved child, you're his beloved daughter, you're his beloved son. But he can't necessarily say all the time about me, in whom I am well pleased. His love for me is not a question. My acceptance before him is irreversible, but I don't always please him. Because I don't always embrace the attitude of the righteous. I don't always have the attitude that Jesus had as the Son of Man, that he was desiring to fulfill all righteousness. You see, it's not that God requires perfection from us. He's not a perfectionist, though he's perfect. But he does long for us to want to get it perfect without feeling guilty when we don't. What he wants is an attitude that says, "Lord, I don't want to ever displease you. I don't want to ever grieve your heart. I don't want to ever be disobedient." I've taught a lot about grace in my life, but grace isn't an excuse to just live any way you want to, thinking it's going to always be okay. He'll never stop loving you, but in terms of you living under an open heaven and the Spirit remaining on you, it's not okay. And that's what we're after. We're not just after stories in our past about the Holy Spirit touching us and coming on us. We're after an experience of living with the Holy Spirit remaining on us. Jesus was the author and the perfecter of faith. He's our role model as a Spirit-filled person, as the second Adam. And so for us to live our lives with the Spirit of God remaining on us, and with us living under an open heaven, therefore the signs and wonders of normal Christianity happening in our lives as a daily occurrence, the passion and the attitude to fulfill all righteousness is absolutely imperative. Again, if we want to live lazy Christianity or sloppy agape, he will say about you from the heavens, "Behold my beloved son, behold my beloved daughter." But if you have a passion for the Spirit of God to remain on you, so you have new stories to tell every day, not just the story about 30 years ago when you became a charismatic, or 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, or that time when you were in the conference. If you want to be able to tell the story today, about the wonders of the Spirit of God remaining on you and living under an open heaven experientially, than the desire to fulfill all righteousness, the passion to please God even in the smallest things. That's what Lent reorients us about. That's what Lent does. It does a reset button. It recalibrates our thinking again. Oh my gosh. When you're in love, you don't want to ever do anything intentionally that would displease the person you love. And so my prayer for us, my prayer for me has been, oh God, put that thing in me. That's a Christ-like attitude, that I want to fulfill all righteousness. And I know that when I don't, you're still screaming from the heavens, behold my beloved son. And because of that, I can get up and go at it again. But I don't want to ever use the fact excuse as an excuse that you never stop loving me. And then complain that I'm not living my life under an open heaven. I'm not living my life with the Spirit of God remaining on me. That's what I want. I've got his unconditional love. I want more than that. I want to live a life that's pleasing to him. That seems like the simplest thing in the world, but it really is the path to supernatural living. And it really is the most evident expression that you actually really love him and am growing in love. If you love me, he says, you will keep my commandments. I'll tell you this story again. I've told it for CT Cares before. One of the great missionaries throughout church history was a man named C.T. Studd. He founded the first really missionary organization that impacted interior Africa. He was the greatest cricket player in English history. He was the Babe Ruth of English cricket. You may not know much about cricket, and you probably never want to know much about cricket. But when you travel a lot internationally, you get to see a lot about cricket and cricket matches. But it was equivalent. It was the big sport, even before there was soccer over there. And he was the Babe Ruth, and he was very wealthy because of it. But God got hold of his life in a profound way. He left it all behind, laid it all down, gave it all away, and started a missionary organization in Africa. And after being a missionary there for a number of years, his daughter grew up, she got married, and they were in this sort of campground place that had little houses or buildings they could stay in. And his son-in-law observed the fact that right across the little courtyard, he would wake up in the night and notice that the candle was burning or the lantern was burning in C.T. Studd's window like three or four nights in a row, 2, then at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so he grew out concerned because of all the responsibilities of the missionary organization. This is way back when there's, when there were a lot of conveniences. And so finally, after about 3 or 4 days, he asked his father-in-law. And he said, Father, why at night I've noticed your candle or your lantern on 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I really want to know, is everything okay? And he said, oh, he laughed. Said, yes, he said, I discovered that verse. It said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So I've been up every night trying to find new commandments to keep. That's the attitude that wants to fulfill our righteousness. That's what Lent helps recalibrate in our lives. Because you see, you want him. You want that remaining thing, that open heaven thing so bad that you don't want to miss out, you see. The devil tells us, you'll miss out. But then God goes, you'll miss out. And missing out on that level is much more heartbreaking. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.